From painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking, KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Today on Artbeat, we visit with Jovi Rocky, a local artisan from Winona, Minnesota. Jovi makes unique pieces of jewelry that are very streamlined and modern. We'll talk to Jovi about the creative side of jewelry making and how her pieces have evolved over the years. Jovi also gives us some insight into how to make a business out of your passion. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Jovi Rocky on Artbeat. Okay, I'm here with Jovi Rocky today on Artbeat. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. A little chilly out there, but it's a lot better than we've been having.
It's true.
Well, let's get right into the jewelry stuff. You've been making jewelry for about 7 years now. How did you get your start?
Originally, I just started making jewelry for myself. And then as I started kind of evolving into different mediums of jewelry, I thought that maybe I could do it as a business. And then started with like a small market, the Winona Artisan Market, when it had first started, sold to friends and family, and then it just kind of evolved from there.
Oh, wow. So it's, gone from personal jewelry to, selling it locally and online as well, right?
I do a little bit online. I'm not as flush online as I would like to be. I'm slowly chipping away at it. So okay. I've been primarily focusing on live events.
Oh, okay. Okay. So if people want to see your work, like I met you at Boats and Bluegrass, mm-hmm. I believe. And if people want to see your work in person like that, are there other festivals that you go and do?
I do. A pretty wide variety. The last couple of years, I was definitely all over the map, kind of. Quite a bit in southeast Minnesota, basically from here all the way up to the Twin Cities, really between the Twin Cities and Madison and anywhere in between.
Oh, cool.
This year, I might not be doing quite as much, so that's why I'm trying to put a little bit more of a focus onto the online.
Okay, sure.
But like the Driftless Area Arts Festival, assuming that... I get juried in is one of them. That was cool. A great one. I'll still be doing the Winona Artisan Market because I am the organizer for that as well.
Oh, cool.
I will be at Pearl Street in just a couple weeks for the Driftless Makers Exchange.
Okay.
There'll be a variety of things I'll be doing. Yeah.
So you still have live events even though it's winter because you can go into like the Pearl Street and
yeah. Like so that. If there's like indoor type things.
Okay. Cool. So, yeah. So I'm guessing we can go on your website and find out about those events?
Or you can look on my Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Or my Instagram account.
Okay. Cool. We'll remind viewers of that at the end of the interview,
sure.
As well. So let's see. How supportive has the community been, you know? Has word of mouth been a real important component in getting these out there?
It has been. Community support has been key, definitely, in building up my business. I can't thank people enough for talking about my jewelry, wearing it, telling people where they can find me, carrying my business card and giving it to people because they get asked about my jewelry.
Oh, cool.
When they wear it. There's been a lot of overwhelming support from a lot of people, especially in the Winona area.
Okay. Are there specific types of jewelry that you focus on? Can you kind of describe for our listeners what it...
I primarily make earrings and necklaces.
Okay.
I've dabbled in, like rings and bracelets and things like that, but my earrings and my necklaces seem to be my best selling items.
Okay.
My jewelry is very minimalist and modern. It's unique in its styling, but still reserved enough that it can be worn every day.
Okay, sure.
And I think that has a lot to do with the appeal of it.
Right. I noticed that it is pretty unique and pretty cool stuff. So,
thank you.
Yeah. How do you go about making a ring?
Well, the techniques that I use are primarily wire wrapping and cold forging.
Okay.
So in the past, I did some wire wrap rings. What I'd like to do in the coming year is hone in on some soldering techniques and silversmithing so that I can apply, you know, different designs without as much limitation.
Okay, sure.
So I might get back into the rings, but it'll be in a different capacity, I guess.
Okay. It's always an evolution, I'm assuming, huh?
It is, definitely. Yeah, with the style and technique and, you know, as I start using more of those hot techniques, I think that will expand a lot sure. in terms of, like, my styling and what I can and can't do.
Sure. So then along with that, you put stones in it, I'm assuming, and mm-hmm. things like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do, and I do have a lot of, like, just plain metal jewelry, but yeah, a lot of my stuff incorporates semi-precious stones.
Okay. Where do you get your inspiration from for your pieces?
You know, I am very attracted to mid-century modernism, be it with furniture or artwork or even jewelry from that period of time. A lot of the design concepts from that, you know, that mid-century time period mm-hmm. are very streamlined. There's a lot of curves or geometric shapes.
Okay.
So a lot of that, like, I'm very attracted to. And so you're going to see that in pretty much everything that I make.
Cool. Yeah, it's like I said before, I thought it was unique and very neat. So can you kind of walk us through the process from start to finish of what it takes to make a piece like that?
Yeah, I mean, it varies from piece to piece. But typically, like if I'm just starting with a design, it's usually just a freehand kind of. So I use a lot of different gauge sized wires. In, let's say, a necklace. And so I might sit down and I'll just cut like a 6-inch piece or an 8-inch piece of wire and then manipulate it depending on the shape that I'm going for.
Okay.
And again, you know, sometimes it's just like a free-flowing thing. I might sketch out the design first, try to incorporate it, and then see if I can repeat it.
Okay,
and then I hone
sure.
in on, like, the measurements. So if I want to repeat that again, then I know that, like, it takes this much wire, and these
right.
are, like, some of the tools that I used, or, like, I use this particular mandrel to make this type of shape.
Okay. What is a mandrel?
A mandrel is, like, a usually a cylindrical long stick, so
okay,
to speak,
sure.
that is tapered. So it's going to be fatter on one end and it's going to go down to a narrower point.
Okay.
They're often used in like bracelet and ring applications.
Okay, sure.
But I will use that to make like my, like a horseshoe hoop earring. So that bottom part that's a little bit fatter is that was wrapped around a mandrel so that I can keep the sizing consistent.
Okay, sure. Uh-huh. So it's similar to like what they'd use to size rings, something like that?
Similar to that, yeah.
Okay.
And then I have like various sizes of that.
Okay, cool. And I suppose you can make quite a few shapes with something like that then, huh?
You can, yeah, definitely. And then depending on where you know, bend or forge or flatten the metal, it can alter the shape too. So that usually is like a baseline for making, you know, like that pair of earrings that's shaped like a horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll make the top portion that goes through the ear and clasps in the back and then flatten it, you know, or give it texture or something at the bottom.
Okay, neat. Do you also do custom things for people, like if they ask?
I do custom pieces. Depending on, I guess, what someone's looking for. But yeah, I do mm-hmm. try to work with people. I have worked with, like recently, I worked with a gal from North Dakota who she had bought some beautiful glass-blown beads from a lady named Mary Isla Duntman in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And I had bought the same type of beads, and I had made myself a necklace with these beads and posted it on Instagram. And she had found my Instagram via Mary's Instagram and then asked me to do some custom pieces with those beads.
Cool.
So we just kind of worked together via email and figured out, you know, something that would work for her beads and that she liked.
Nice. Do you do a lot of collaborations like that with other artisans?
I've done a little bit, but not a lot. Mary is someone who's definitely expressed interest in that because she does do the hand blown or glass blown beads that are just really beautiful. But yeah, I'm always open to those kinds of collaborations because then it can open up options to different types of designs or stylings. And I think it's mutually beneficial for both artists. For
right, sure. Right. It sounds like you kind of got a word of mouth thing online going there.
A little bit, yeah. It is interesting to see and hear how people, you know, discover your jewelry or who's talking about it. So it is interesting.
Okay, okay. Do you have any plans? I know we talked about, you know, the different events you go to and the physical places. Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans to open up a physical store or anything like that?
I have dreams of opening up a physical store. You know, I would love someday to have a shop that would not only showcase my jewelry, but work from area artists from this region and beyond. I know a lot of people, oddly, kind of around the country who are artists that do amazing work, and I would love to have something like that in Winona. But I'm not at that point yet.
Okay, okay. Do you have any other future plans for your business? Like, are you expanding into other types of jewelry or?
Not particularly at this point. I think I'm more on a maintaining mode.
Okay.
I've been really hitting the pavement hard the last couple of years, very heavily trying to get my name out there and, you know, working different demographics or different, you know, different areas, basically, outside of Winona. And then just kind of seeing what comes back to me, you know, what I found to be fruitful, what I would do again, what I wouldn't do again. Some of the best advice I'd ever gotten was from a guy who was a record dealer, and he said you should try anything 3 times so that you get a good baseline of, like, how it went.
Right.
Because the first time might not be great, and that's a fluke, and the second time might be really amazing, and that, too, could be a fluke. But by the time you get to the third time, then you kind of know, you know, what to expect,
right,
or at least have an idea. And I have tried to adhere to that, and it's worked out pretty well.
Cool.
But it's also time, you know, because some of these art festivals only happen one time a year. So you try it a couple of years in a row and see how it goes.
Right, right. Okay, cool. So we can expect to see you back at a lot of these events then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, great. Is there any kind of advice you would give to someone who's looking to start out in making jewelry or anything of that nature?
Wow, there's a lot of advice that I could offer, I guess. I would say, you know, constantly make things until you hone in on what you feel like expresses you. And then explore, you know, different avenues of selling your jewelry or artwork. This could be applicable to any creative, but, explore those avenues, get, you know, some experience under your belt, in talking to people and being able to sell yourself. It's not easy. I have found that a lot of creative people are typically actually introverts.
Okay, sure.
I'm kind of a mix of an introvert extrovert, so I was fortunate in that, But get a feel for it and get experience under your belt in talking about what you're doing and what you're making, and then allow yourself to evolve. You don't have to lock into any one thing right away.
Sure.
And then if it's something that you want to expand in and you want to make it, you know, your creative business, you know, it's not always the fun side of it, managing a business, but you do have to remember to look at it as such. And sometimes it's easy to get lost in the, like, being creative and making all the things and then forgetting that, like, oh yeah, there's, like, this other side that I have to account for.
Right, right. You have to get it out there somehow.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of which, do you think, is there any difference in, like, selling your stuff online or versus a festival? Do you think one is more effective than the other, or?
I I don't know that one is more effective than the other. What I've found in my own experience is that connecting with people in person is driving traffic to, you know, where I send people to, be it social media or my website. I haven't done a lot of online sales because I've spent most of my time and energy cultivating those relationships in person.
Okay.
But I think I'm at a point myself where it's beneficial for me to have a website that people can shop from, because then sure. I want that return customer. So it's like I've established the relationship. They've met me. They've talked to me. They purchased from me, and now they want to purchase more. And that's what I'm kind of finding. But not to say that it isn't possible to just do online and start there. There's a lot of successful creative businesses that do that.
Okay.
But I think it's a matter of like what works best for you, you know, and where, sure. you know, do you want to be in the limelight at a festival, and that comes with its own sort of trade-offs. There's setting up and breaking down and,
right.
you know, long days and mm-hmm. not always having someone there to help you. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. But I think either way, they can be equally successful or they can go hand in hand.
Sure, sure. Okay. I know for myself, when I'm shopping for something like that, I like to, you know, go and see it and meet
a lot
the
of people
person
like the tangible. They yeah. like to be able to touch it, feel it, try it on,
right.
Especially when it comes to things like jewelry or clothing or accessories.
Right. But I can definitely see how the online stuff could get you those repeat customers and things like
yeah.
that, you know.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I've been talking to Jovi Rocky here today. And why don't we let people know where they can find you online? You have a website, correct?
I do. It's an Etsy website where you can plug in www.jovirockyjewelry.com. And it's J-O-V, like Victor Y, R-O-C-K-E-Y. Or you can find me on Facebook at Jovi Rocky Jewelry or on Instagram as well.
Okay. Okay, cool. So if we just search your name on Instagram or Facebook.
You probably just Google my name and
okay.
all the things will show up. It's
oh,
very
great.
Unique. So.
Great. Great. That sounds good. Well, like I said, we've been talking to Jovi Rocky here today. And thanks for joining us, Jovi.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Jovi Rocky for joining us today on ArtBeat. More information on Jovi Rocky can be found at JoviRockyJewelry.com.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at KQAL.org.